And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Wrong way. The book of Isaiah was written by three people, not just one. The second author in Isaiah was writing not at the time when the people of Israel were actually in Jerusalem, but when they had been taken captive and when they were off in Babylonia. That was about the 600s before the Common Era. There were still people in the land of Israel, but Jerusalem had been destroyed. And so when the second author of Isaiah begins, he begins with words that are familiar to us, words that speak to our hearts. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then these very familiar words, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When this second Isaiah, who's never named, he signs off at the end with God's name, not his own. When he begins his prophecy, he gives the image of the earth moving, of the valleys being raised up and the high places being made low, so that the word of the Lord can come. Nature is articulate for him. Nature is a testimony. And so it is when we get to the end of his prophecy, which is what we read today. He talks about the word coming like rain and snow and giving life to the earth so that the earth can produce seed and the seeds can be made into bread. There are interconnections between God's word and the earth the way that it nurtures our hearts, and the way that it nurtures our communities. And so he ends with this image of the return, not just the return of the word, but the return of the people of Israel to the land. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. There's great joy in creation. There's great joy in the world, in the word going forth, not only as a message, but as an event, in the people of Israel going back, in the community being replanted and being a sign of life. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, I'm wondering if you have had an experience of being the bearer of the word, of knowing or feeling or sensing that somehow God is with you. And maybe the way that you know that is that somehow the mountains come forth to greet you, and the trees of the field clap their hands, that there is just this overwhelming response. Take a moment to think about that. I hope that is Lisa McIndoe's experience here at St. Timothy's. I hope that when she comes forth, that the mountains rush out to greet her, that the trees of the field right here at St. Timothy's clap their hands, and that there will be new life planted in the earth that is St. Timothy's, and new growth, new seed, new bread. I'm having a little bit of that experience. I was asked to serve at a church in Oakland. It's an Hispanic parish, and I won't go through all the details that I did at the last, at the point, because I think I took too long doing it. So you can ask then. But the point is that this church is struggling a bit, and they're wanting to really be present to their neighborhood. And so I started looking around the neighborhoods, and what I found is that the largest elementary school in Oakland is about 3 blocks away. And so I went to an open house, I started asking questions, and I was able to meet with the principal and talk with some teachers. And what I found out also is that there are over 700 students there, and 70% of the kids coming in are non-English language speakers. And so there's great need through the summer to help, to continue to, just with kids of any language, including English language speakers. And I see, I think, a former teacher nodding her head. Right? Were you a former teacher? No, I thought you were. Anyway, the people that we all lose something in the summer, and I'll testify to that. From, you know, my son sitting on the couch for too many weeks before he went to camp, right, doing iPad, and then what happens to the brain with that. But I shouldn't say that in Silicon Valley. But anyway, never mind. So there's a need to continue to stimulate and nurture and take care of children. And so what is evolving is an ecology and spirituality camp to complement another camp at another ministry house about 3 blocks away from this church. And what I will say, in short, is that in thinking about the possibilities of having a camp that is based on tree ecology and incorporates the elements of life, earth and water and air and fire, to have a collaborative project, that the response has been overwhelming. that even the diocese has offered to try to get full funding for it next, not this diocese, Diocese of California, for next summer. That seems like mountains moving to me. But though people from different religious traditions have been excited about this, people who are not religious have been excited and have said, how can I help? Have been willing to be visiting experts, have been willing to join the kids. So I'll just leave that question with you. Where do you find the mountains moving? Or where do you see the trees waving their hands and clapping? Is the word going out? And are you being invited to be a part of that? And so I'd like to go into our gospel today. Jesus offers exegesis already, an understanding of the symbols. That the sower goes out, that some of the seed that falls on the path is snatched up by birds, a symbol for the evil one. Some of it falls into rocky soil, and so the roots cannot go down very deep. And even though the word is received with joy, the plant will shrivel up quickly because the roots cannot go deep enough to continue to get the water. I forgot to put my slides up. Hang on. Could somebody advance to the next slide? So we'll just pop. Okay, that's fine. Let's go back. Just so you can see the mountains. The mountains rushing forth. And I just like us, the children were very helpful in saying, oh, this is a painting. This is a painting. This is an interpretation. We're in the land of interpretation, the interpretation of nature. So this is one interpretation in painting. So let that wash over you. And then let's go to the photograph, which is next. And we can see a path in there where nothing is growing. But there's a lot of growth around that. So we'll just stay there. So the birds can come along and snatch up the grain. The seeds cannot grow in rocky soil. They cannot grow where there are a lot of weeds that are going to choke them. Cares of the world. But the seed that falls into good soil, and the question is, what is good soil? Can produce 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Now the next slide, please. This is a manuscript image by Hildegard of Bingen. She's actually drawn herself in the corner. She's the creator. She's the inspired one. She's the great imaginer. And the children are very good at identifying that there are people there tending to the trees that are planted in the earth in the center, and that there is water coming down, the blue squiggles, and the sun all around giving light. And they understood the white squiggles coming in as oxygen, scientific, and air. So there's this whole cosmos of interconnection. Jesus tells us in the parable that the path is the human heart. And if the seed cannot be understood, if the word cannot be understood, it will be snatched away. The heart is the path to God. The heart is what receives the seed. I'm reading a book right now called The Songs of Trees. It's written by somebody who I think is very sort of deep into incarnational theology. He's also a scientist. And he writes about, with balsam firs, how birds, chickadees, are very important. That with their powerful beaks, because they love eating the seeds of the balsam firs, they'll crack open the pine cones. And so that even though they end up eating a lot of seeds, when they crack open the pine cones, the seeds also get dispersed. Now, in the winter, when the birds need to find the seeds that they've hidden, their memories actually expand. The parts of their brain where memory is located actually gets larger in their little bird brains. So they can go find the seeds that they've planted. But sometimes they forget about some of the seeds, or maybe they're generous and leave some of them. And those seeds can sprout and grow. So I bring that up because even though the seeds, the birds sort of get a bad rap in the interpretation of the gospel today as the evil one, as we'll hear next year, or next Sunday, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Does the evil one love the Lord? We'll leave that for another dissertation, right? All things work together, though. All things can work together. And so, as Lisa comes forth to you, and we'll be praying for her amongst the travelers today, and as perhaps the mountains come forth to greet her and the trees of the field here clap their hands, I'm also wondering, because she's coming once, but she will be here, and there will be a need for continuous opening, continuous tilling, continuous tending, continuous receiving for the word that she brings to take root and to grow. How, even now, and how along the way will you be making the good soil at St. Timothy's? How will you open your hearts to understanding if some of the things she brings sound unfamiliar, challenging, different? Are there still stones that might need to be lifted up and used to build something else so that the word that she brings can take root, deep root, and not just grow, but thrive? Will there be certain cares, concerns, over concerns, that need to be checked, cut away, weeded out? What is there of water and light, oxygen, worms and compost to make the good soil here so that the word she brings can produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold with all the seeds that you also bring? May your garden grow, and may you be blessed. Amen.